Another pleasure given by
They let anyone into this place, don't they?
It's not right.
You're all the way in Florida.
Wow.
Florida. Hawaii. Florida. Far as for the heathen. Who wants to hang out with them?
They don't have a minion over here.
Don't even have a...
Hello.
I try.
Hello. Hi.
Hi. Kristen and Steve, your screen is off. I don't know if this is on purpose. And you're also muted.
Say hello, Talia.
By the way, what technology are we learning?
Here we go. Oh, Marcia's here. Now this is real. Marcia!
What are you guys up to?
No good.
Hey, Cantor is here.
Yeah,
how come we don't have any food or wine or anything?
We're still freezing.
Where's the cake and cookies?
L'chaim.
Well, that isn't what I had. And is that, who is this?
Wait a minute. I got something for you. I got Corona. Hey. Corona Light for you.
Did you have some Corona beer for me?
Yeah, thank Corona you. Light.
Okay. Cal, how are you, Cal? Can you hear
pretty
me?
Good. How are you?
That's a good.
Doing great. I was on.
Is everything
phone.
Working? My mic is working.
Your mic is working.
We can hear you, Cal.
Hi. How are you?
Sadly, your video is working too.
Yes.
And look who's here? Our president, the prez. Oh no.
Now you have to behave yourself.
Oh no.
Now you have to behave yourself.
No. He's threatened to shoot Sydney again. He's threatened to shoot Sydney again, Rabbi.
Everybody knows that dogs actually spread the coronavirus. Yossi told me.
Oh yeah? Yossi told you.
Yossi told me it must be true.
It must
you
be.
Can't trust
you.
Yossi
told you anything about an animal. It must be true. Absolutely.
There we go.
Hey,
get him off. He's Corona. Never.
Who's got Corona?
This is the Mexican.
Where is Yossi? Are you in Denver, Yossi? Are you in Florida? I thought you'd be in Florida on the beach with all those kids.
In the backyard taking care of your dog.
Yossi, are you in Denver or are you in Florida?
I'm not disclosing to you where my location is.
That's a good one. Oh. Okay, where's Shlomo?
Hey, Yossi,
where are we?
Eno starts to party.
Marcia, we're going to meet you soon if you don't stop talking.
Eric, you're Dalin.
Hey, Shlomo! Where are you? Shlomo! I saw all those big coin trucks.
You don't see me? Come on, look at the Golden Gate Bridge.
You're incognito, Shlomo.
Shlomo left his heart in San Francisco.
Yeah.
Shlomo, if you're in San Francisco, do you realize you'd never get out?
Yeah.
You're never going to get out, Shlomo, if you're in San Francisco. 7 million people are being held captive there.
Sounds good. All right. We have Marshawn, the Schreibers.
Yes, I can see who we have on.
Okay, good.
I see Michael Troy has a nice picture of himself.
Michael, where's Michael?
And hi, around.
Hi, Michael.
Right, I'll be
hey,
playing.
Yossi, you're looking as good as you did last night.
I can't see it, Alan. You going to share it with us? Okay.
Well, you have to explain how come you don't have an Edo's background. I think this is wrong.
We can set that up.
Yeah. So let's get started here. I hope everyone is feeling well. Everybody is looking well. Medical opinion.
Mm-hmm. Rabbi, is anything in English on your handout sheets?
No.
Okay.
We don't want to have English.
let's get started here.
When we last left off, it's been a while. When we were last learning, which is before the world ended, we had discussed that Shaul was the king of Israel.
Okay.
And Israel's being attacked by the Philistines, as they often were. And mm-hmm. we were in particularly bad shape.
Oh.
Meaning that the Plishtim had control over the Jews. Hi, Shai. Nice to see you.
Where's Shai? Oh, I can't see Shai.
I'm in San Francisco. So.
Yeah, hi, everyone.
Hi.
Hi, Shai.
Hi, Shai.
Make it really big.
Okay. We're having a class, okay?
Shai, you going to learn Torah with us?
Yeah,
okay. We'll learn Torah. At the end, you'll sing Yigdal. It'll be very nice. So we last left off that the Plishtim were attacking, and mm-hmm. since the Plishtim had control of Israel at the time, they had made it off that there would be no metal workers in Israel, and therefore Israel had no weapons whatsoever.
Rabbi, your voice is going in and out. It's up and down.
Right. So, Marcia, that might be your connection. Is anyone else having the problem?
Not us.
No.
There's some momentary dropout.
If everyone else isn't having the problem, that's probably right. Tristan is not having it either. Thank you. Yeah, so Marcia, we're sorry, but you'll have to look into this with Comcast and find out why Yossi told them to slow down the internet.
Exactly.
Right. So we had last left off that they were attacking and they were coming from three different angles. B'nai Yisrael were very outnumbered. They only had 600 soldiers. They were led by Shaul and his son Yonasan. And there was almost no hope. They had two swords to their name. Shaul had one, Yonasan had one, and that was it. So let's start at the beginning of Perek Yud Dalid. And we'll start reading from there. Vayhi hayom, vayom Yonasan ben Shaul el hanar nosei kelov l'chov v'navro el matzav plishtim asher me'eva halaz l'aviv lo hegid. So Yonasan on his own, without telling his father about this at all, he goes and he decides, you know what? Why not? Let's see what's going on the other side. Let's see what the Plishtim are doing. And Shaul is sitting where he is, and he only has 600 people with him. So you had 600 people there. You had one Kohen. The Kohen is a descendant of Eli HaKohen. You remember Eli from the beginning of the book. Eli had his sons Chofni and Pinchas. They did wrong, but their sons, Pinchas' son, still got to be the Kohen at this point. Why did the Kohen go to war with everybody else? Anybody? Steve Feldman, our Kohen? Why would the Kohanim go to war?
There is a Kohen to lead the war. There is a special Kohen, a war Kohen.
Right, so there's a Kohen who is known as the Meshuach Melchama. There is a war there, but the main reason that they brought the Kohen with him was because the Kohen would be wearing the Big Day Kahuna. The Big Day Kahuna had notably the breastplate, the Urim V'tumim.
Right,
so because they had the Urim V'tumim, right, if they had a question of strategy, the Kohen could ask the Urim V'tumim, and that would answer. If you remember, the Urim V'tumim had the 12 stones representing the 12 Shvatim, the 12 tribes of Israel. It was on a cloth background. The cloth background was folded over. And in that cloth foldover was the 72-letter name of God. And that gave it the special powers that you had the ability to, shall we say, communicate with God and ask the questions. That's why you needed a Kohen. It could only work if there was a Kohen there. It would not work if not. So the Kohen would come along as well for that. Just as a little bit of history, this is one of the items that was lost in the Second Temple. When the Second Beis HaMikdash was built, it did not have the glory of the First Beis HaMikdash. What was missing? What was the most important thing that was missing?
The Urim V'Tumim.
What was that?
The Urim V'Tumim were missing.
They were missing, but that probably wasn't the most important thing.
The Aron,
correct, Yossi, 100%. The Aron, most important thing in the Beis Hamikdash wasn't there, but there were minor things missing as well, and the Urim V'Tumim was one of them. It didn't work. But this is, of course, prior to the first Beis Hamikdash, so the Kohen came along for that reason. So there are what's called ma'abarot. What are ma'abarot? It's still a modern-day Hebrew word.
Passageways, actually.
Right. No, Yossi's right. It's passageways. Mm-hmm. So ma'abarot, oftentimes, like in the Yarden, there's sometimes where there is some rocks or wood which falls in the Jordan. That catches the silt as it comes down. It builds up, and therefore there are areas in the Jordan which are very shallow because you have this buildup there. Those areas where you can cross are known as the ma'abarot. Yechol la'avor. That's where the word ma'abarot comes from. So therefore, it was between. So when they were coming over, they would come by the ma'abarot, and in between, this was a very rocky area. So there are two major rocks, and Yonasan and his sidekick, his arms bearer, was with him. So he explains these two large stones which he was able to emerge from. It wasn't really a large passageway. He said, why don't we go and see what's going on with these Plishtim? Because ultimately, if we're going to have a Yeshua, if we're going to be saved, we're going to be saved with the help of God. And the help of God, it doesn't matter if we are a lot of people or so a few people. It's not us fighting the war, it's God fighting the war. So let's see what we're going to do. He says, you know what? Fine, whatever you say, I'm with you, the arms bearer says.
Rabbi, excuse me. You said Saul's son's name was Jonathan. Jonathan.
Yes.
Okay, I thought you said Jonathan's son with an S.
Like Netanyahu's brother.
Okay, Jonathan. Okay. And is he the one who became Moshe's general, his head guy? Who crossed the Jordan and fought?
Yeshua.
Oh, Yeshua. Right, sorry. Right, I had the names mixed up. Okay, this is Jonathan.
That's only about 600 years earlier, but who's counting?
Okay. What's that among friends?
There you go. Well, not my father's family. It was nothing.
Right.
Okay.
So he says, Yonasan says, I've got a plan. Vayomer Yches, Vayomer Yahonasan. We're going to go and we're going to let them see us. We're going to come out of our hiding. Said, if they say, wait there, we're going to come get you, then we know this is a bad idea. We're going to turn around. However, Yud, Im ko yomar, alu aleinu va'olinu. If they say, how about you come here and do something to us? We're going to take that as a sign that, you know what? Let's go after them. This is a good thing. We're going to go and we're going to beat them.
Now, I thought you're not supposed to do that, Rabbi. You're not supposed to put omens on as a symbol.
That is an excellent question. Right? The Cantor Cole says that's what we call superstition.
Yeah.
Right? If you get up in the morning and you say, if a black cat walks in my way, I'm not going out, etc., that is what we call menachish. That is superstition, not allowed.
So we've seen that before. We didn't consider it superstition before. We saw that with with when looking for Rivka, you know, say.
Eliezer, correct.
It's the same thing.
And, very good. Excellent point.
There is a problem.
Well, why not? So if you look at the source sheet, in fact, the Talmud, the Gemara in Hulin, says that, in fact, they're both problems. Look at number one on your sheet. It says, V'ha'amar Rav kol nachash she'eino ke'eliezer eved Avramu ki'yonason ben shol eino nachash. What is the translation of superstition, of giving a sign when you're not allowed to? This case, and as Steve correctly said, Eliezer. So it sounds from the Gemara that this is wrong and that was wrong as well. So the question is, wait a second. We usually assume that Eliezer was a good guy. We assume that Yonasan was a pretty good guy. So there are different approaches that people have to explain this, why this was allowed. We start with the Rambam. The Rambam, which is number two on your source, says, you're not allowed to go and make a sign. What would be an example of this? If I say that I'm eating a piece of bread drops out of my mouth, or I'm walking and I drop my stick, that means it's going to be a bad day today. If a fox runs by on my right, then I'm going to quarantine. I'm not going anywhere. Because it's going to be bad news. Over here, the bird's chirping, and I say, oh, let this be a sign. This is a sign for this. All these cases are not allowed. Last line of the Rambam before the Ravid. These are wrong, just like what Eliezer did, it would seem is wrong. And therefore, if anybody goes and does this, they in fact are liable to get lashes. The Ravid can't accept this. The Ravid says, what are you talking about? Says, he said, the Rambam is wrong. That's a big mistake. Of course it's allowed. He said he misread the Gemara. This is just an example. It's saying, if X, Y, that is the case of what is not allowed. However, he said the Gemara does not mean what they did was wrong. Well, the question is, why not? Why wasn't it wrong? So there are several approaches as to why not. The Ramah in the Shulchan Aruch number 3 says, Yesh amin da adam mutar lasos losimim b'dav shavu la'asid. So some people say a lot to do it. Kamosha asa Eliezer Eved Avram Oyonasan. V'yesh osrim v'aholech b'tam v'tei chesed Hashem yisovavenu. So he quotes both opinions. He says the Rambam says one way, the Ravid says the other way, etc. Truth of the matter is the majority of the Rishonim don't agree with that. For example, if you look at the case of, look at Tosfos, Tosfos says actually no. When it came to these cases, the decision was made beforehand. So, for example, if you look at the last line in number 4, he explains as follows. He says the bottom line was that Yonasan knew he was going after them. But he wasn't the only guy here. Who was with Yonasan?
Hashem.
No.
His bearers or whatever they were called.
Right, his arm bearers. Very good. So he said he wasn't nervous. He believed that Hashem was going to take care of it. But the arms bearer, he didn't know anything. So therefore, he said the only reason that Yonasan gave this example was in order to encourage the arms bearer. Simply by Eliezer, Tosfos says that the bottom line was that Eliezer had decided it was her beforehand. He gave her, actually, the jewelry prior to her offering the water. Or rather, again, he wanted to prove to everybody that this was done on behalf of God. That's one approach.
By the way, with Eliezer, he prays there. By Yomer means he prayed to Hashem. So he was actually, they shall show at the Zaner.
Right. The other point that is probably, I think, the more accepted one is the Ran. The Ran said as follows. Let's say, I'm not allowed to say that if I go outside and a fox runs by me, then I'm going to turn around. Can I say the following? If I go outside and it's raining, I'm going to take an umbrella with me. Anything
that's
wrong with
that?
That's
a good idea. Common sense. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Right, that's a good idea, right? If it's raining, I should take an umbrella with me. Let's say if it's raining today, I'm not going to the ball game.
That's also a good idea.
Also a good idea. So he said, that's exactly what's going on here. He said, in the case of Eliezer, why did Eliezer make up this strange idea? What was he thinking? There's thinking as follows. And what Eliezer was thinking is, you know what? I'm looking for a wife. What is the most important thing to look for in a wife?
Kindness.
She'll be kind to everybody.
Yeah, rich father.
Kind. She should be generous. So if I see this girl and she says, you look like you need water. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to give you water and I'm going to give water to your camels. Haka good shidduch. You can look by her. She's not from such a good family. She's 3 years old. No, she'll grow up.
Yes. I have a question. Why didn't she say, yes, how about all the servants? Why didn't you give it? He was not the only one that went. Why didn't you offer the servants before the camels?
I assume they could help themselves. They were big boys.
Well, I mean, you know, I mean, it would seem to me if she was a very, you know, thoughtful young lady, she would say, you know, here's for you and the servants, and then the camels, right? The camels before the people doesn't make sense.
Why not? You're supposed to feed your animals before you feed yourself.
You're supposed to feed your animals.
You're supposed to feed your animals before you feed babies, then animals, and then humans, then adults.
No, the babies can work.
Babies and then humans. You tell them.
Babies, animals, and then adults.
Baby animals.
Kids are people too, you know. So the idea behind this, the Ran says, is the reason that it's not that this was superstitious, right? A fox walks in front of me, that's superstition. But this isn't superstition, right? This is a matter of common sense. You want a good wife? You want to get a good shidduch? What do?
You treat her well.
No, you're looking for somebody. You're not looking for looks. You're not looking for money. You're looking for someone who's kind, who's so generous. That's what he did. So that's why it wasn't a problem. So what's going on here? So why did this make sense? So the Ran explains as follows. He says, if they say, we're going to come after you, that means they're confident. And if they're confident and we're outnumbered, we're in trouble. Mm-hmm. If he says, you come to me, that means they're scared. Right? If they say, if they're not willing to go on the offensive, that's a different story. So he said, that's what was going on here. When Yonasan says to him, you know, if they say, you right there, we're going to get you, we run for it, that means we're outnumbered. If he says, you come and get us, that means they're scared. So that was the idea behind it. That in fact, that there was no reason. It wasn't a matter that this was some sort of superstition. This was actually a sensible move, just like by Eliezer. That's why. If this didn't make sense, this would have been not allowed. This would have been superstition. But it's not like the commercial. It's only superstition if it doesn't work. But this is a matter of that this was superstition because at the end, it wasn't superstition because it was sensible. It was the equivalent of, if I go outside and it's raining, what am I going to do? I'm going to take an umbrella with me. Unless it's Shabbos. If it's Shabbos, I'm not going to take my umbrella with me.
The fact that he explains it to his assistant that the words that he used was the same words that they made inference, that means that God is basically protecting them? Is that the idea?
No. It's that it's tactical logic. He's thinking tactically. If they want me to come into them, then they're scared of me. And it would be nice if God backs me up on this. But the bottom line was, is he was thinking as a warrior, as a leader, which made him a better person to try to fight them. Didn't work out that way for him in the end, but oh well.
Don't ruin it for me.
Seriously, a little bit of a spoiler alert there, Steve, don't you think? All right.
I mean, the Philistines are using exactly the same words that he had predicted.
Correct. Well, let's go on. Let's read it. They said that that's what we're going to do. And we say it's allowed. Either it's allowed because the reason he did it wasn't that he really cared one way or the other. He was just trying to encourage his arms bearer that was with him. Or it's because that this was a sensible thing to do. So, Yud Aleph 11, Vayigolu, Shneim El Matzah Plishim Vayomer Plishim, Hine Ivrim Yotzim Min Acharim, Asheiz Chavuvam Sham. So he shows up and said, oh, look at this. Look, it's crawling out of the woodwork. Popping out. So, Vayanu Anshe HaMatzavah Elsionos Anves Nosei Chelov, Vayomru Alu Eilenu V'nodia Eschem Davar, Vayomru Yonosan El Nosei Chelov, Alei Acharai, Kinos Nava Nabi Yad Yisrael. So almost word for word, they say, hey, why don't you come up here and do us something? And that Yonosan turns to his arms bearer and says, how's about that? That's a good sign. It's a sign that, in fact, we've got them. Vayal Yonasan al Yadov al Ragov v'nosei chelov acharav v'yipru lefnei Yonasan v'nosei chelov v'mosei sacharav. And he starts killing them, and then they're fighting back to back, right? Yonasan is going forward. His nosei chelov has the back for him, and they start killing them. Right away, that tehiya makar rishona asher hika Yonasan v'nosei chelov ke'esrim v'achima netzem v'adem. In a half of a furrow, they're already able to kill 20 people. Just the two of them. Vatihi charado b'machane b'asadeh v'chol ha'am ha'matzah v'mashchis chardu gam heima v'tirgaz ha'aretz v'tichi chardes alim. All of a sudden, the Plishim are getting nervous. They're dropping dead, and there's a big hullabaloo going on. Now, from a distance, right, Shaul and all of his people who don't know that Yonasan went, right, they can already see that there's something going on. They say there's something going on among the Plishtim, in the Plishti ranks. We're not sure what it is. So Shaul says, are we missing someone here? And they look around, and there is Yonasan and his arms bearer. Vayomer Shaul Achia Hagish Aron Elohim Ki Haya Aron Elohim Vayom Ahu Bnei Yisrael. He says, get me the Aron, get me the Urim V'tumim. Let's try to figure this out. However, things are moving too fast. Vayhi Ad Diber Shaul El Hakohen. He says, listen, I'm sorry. I don't got time for this. We've got to make a decision right now. So he tells his people, let's charge at this point. I'm not sure what's going on, but it sounds like a good idea. And they see that there's mass bedlam going on here because the Plishtim are running into each other. They have no idea what happened. Very strange pasuk. Very, very strange pasuk. He said, and now the Jews that were fighting on the Plishti side turned around against the Plishtim. Why were there Jews fighting for the Plishtim? So if you look at Rashi, if anyone has Rashi, Rashi says, Rasa machmas yira mitmol shosham. Some people said they were just scared of the Plishtim, so they figured join the other side. It makes a little bit of sense. The Radak is a very different approach, where the Radak says that actually there were Jews living in Chutzlars that were living among the Plishtim. So this was a case, for example, if God forbid there would be a war between America and Israel. So there are Jews in the American army. So too, there were Plishtim at the time that were fighting for, that were, there were Jews fighting in the Plishti army. And all of a sudden, they saw this isn't, they turned around and they started killing the people that they were among. So not only does he, do we have Jonas on killing people, and not only do we have Shaul and his people from within the ranks, right? There is a column that are actually taking out the Plishtim from the inside. And everybody that was hiding because they were afraid, they saw they joined the war also. So all of a sudden now, this band, two guys, first they get the rest of the army, then they get the people from within the Plishti army, then they get the people from Har Ephraim. All of a sudden, and the Plishtim are all confused, they're running into each other. The tide has turned. Right, Ahuva? Is that what happened?
Good. Bye, guys. Give me your kiss.
And with that, we are saved. And the and he said, "Ah, it's bring your granddaughter to work day." I see. Brilliant, brilliant! I tell you, look at her. What percentage in reading is she in right now? Which percentile?
100.
We'd expect nothing less.
Absolutely. It's a big girl. Lalatov.
Ve'ish Yisrael nigash b'yom ahu v'yol Shaul el ha'am v'aymor. Arur ha'isha she'yochal lechem ad ha'erev v'nikamti ma'yavai v'otam kol'am lechem. So Shaul all of a sudden says, listen, this is the great miracle. To commemorate this miracle, what I want is nobody should eat for the rest of the day. Rather, we will keep on pursuing them. With that, the whole haaretz bo vayar vayihi devar al devash al penei asada. And with that, everybody goes into the forest, and in the forest there is
honey.
There is honey out there on the ground. Chavav vayavo ha'am el hayar v'inei ha'helech davash v'ein masig yodo al piv ki yare amas as hashvua. Now, of course, everybody's pretty hungry and they really would like some honey, but Shaul said, no honey for you, honey.
Rabbi, he didn't say that. He didn't say honey for honey. He said bread, lechem. So he wasn't over anything.
So if you look at Rashi,
well,
Rashi? Mm-hmm.
Rashi didn't look at what I said either.
I'm sure it hurt him very much. When you look at Rashi, Rashi says, does anyone have a Rashi in front of them?
Well, it appears that this was not ordinary honey. This was like the man in a
sack.
What does Rashi say? Rashi says,
Now look at the pasuk before, and Asher Yochal Lechem.
Okay, a second.
Right beforehand.
Asher Yochal Lechem.
Yes. Shy.
No matter what meat, Rashi says it's any food.
Cold ma'achah
b'mishmar. But it's only because he's trying to cover it. But that's not what the pasuk says.
It's Rashi says call ma'achah b'mishmar.
Right, Rashi's trying to justify.
Not just bread. I have a different question. It's a bad idea when people are fighting to tell them to fast.
Terrible idea.
You know, so why would he even make a command like that? That is putting people's lives in danger.
So we will discuss that. But that is an excellent point.
That was the weakness of Shaul, his leadership.
I don't know about that. I mean, it sounds like he wants to be a big chassid. But it's it's the wrong call.
That's why he was king only 2 years. He wasn't very smart.
The bottom guys, line here.
Look what Zadie has.
Okay, we all see that Zadie has a horse. Very exciting. Very proud of you, Zadie. That's
like to see you get on his
horse. This is Zadie. You like that? Shia, you like that?
I'll just have you know that I've been doing this all day. This is my fifth class I'm giving over the internet today. Each one over an hour. And I'm a little bit going out of my mind. At one point in one of my classes, a young lady got off an airplane, took a cab home, and by the end of the class was sitting by the pool. Why this was appropriate, I have no idea.
Gosh.
But I learned that on this, I have the ability to knock people off. Well, that's one of the great things I've learned today. It's been a great day. There it is. So, well, Tristan makes the point, you might not have heard of him, where he says, what do you mean? We fight on Purim right after Tinus Esther. Anybody want to answer that? So the answer actually is that we fast Tinus Esther the day before Purim, but the actual fast of Tinus Esther happened in Nisan. It happened 11 months beforehand.
It was on Pesach. Yeah, Pesach.
Right, so the day if you remember, we fasted 3 days for Esther. Right, so we're not actually commemorating the actual fast. It didn't happen on that day. It didn't only happen for one day. It's a very different type of fast. But it was a good point. The moving on. Okay. So, yes, Cal, you're right. What?
That Tanit Esther is for Esther's, 3 day fast. Some hold that it was specifically. Not every opinion holds that Tanit Esther is actually for Esther's 3 day fast. So a lot of them actually hold that it was the fast before battle and that there tends to be a tradition of Jews fasting before battle. See a lot of Yahushua and various other places as well.
But here they're fasting after the battle, not before the battle. Yahushua.
Right. I mean, the Cal's right. There is no sense. We're going to see shortly that someone's going to take the opinion of tell and run with it. So let's see that. So everyone going, they have the dvash there, and they don't need it. V'yenas abia aviv esam v'yishach es ketzeh amateh asher biyado v'yitbov oso b'yaras hadvash v'yoshev yado alpi v'atirena enav. So he goes and he reaches in, he dips his stick into the honey, licks it, feels like $1 million. Best thing that he ever ate.
It was amazing.
He says, Yonason, your father made a gezeira. He made us all swear that we wouldn't eat for the rest of the day. What does Yonason react? Yonason says, well, that wasn't very bright of him. Yonason follows the opinion of Cal here, and he says, Vayomer Yonason, Acher Avi Yes Haaretz, Ruuna Ki Aruei Nai Ki Ta'amdi Mat Vash Hazeh. Why not? look how much strength I've gotten out of this eating. Af. If you'd be eating also, we would be doing better in war. Had everybody else eaten, this would have been a much more successful battle. Right? Yonason is following the opinion of Cal Rybeck. And he's saying that, what kind of business? Fasting in the middle of a war? In fact, if you look at the Gemara in Chulin, the Gemara in Chulin says specifically that soldiers are allowed to eat non-kosher in the middle of the war. If they need strength and the only thing they have is pork, eat the pork, the Gemara says.
So what happened during the 6-day war? Didn't they break their fast during the 6-day war to go fight?
In the Yom Kippur war.
Yom Kippur, sorry. Rabbi, when you're at war, you can eat whatever you need.
What?
Correct. When you're at war, you can eat anything you want. You know,
right, Yossi, Yom Kippur, did you break the fast?
Pardon?
No. But the Yom Kippur war was a different situation. Because the war started at 2 p.m. It was like 3 hours before the end of the fast already. And by the time most people got drafted, Yom Kippur was over. Just the first people in the front, in the line, were really attacked.
Were already there.
So it wasn't a situation where you had to break the fast in the middle of the war. It kind of started 3 hours later.
So here, Yonason is saying, what do you mean by father called a fast in the middle of the war? Had he not called a fast, we'd be doing much better. And with that, they go, and they were successful, but the people were exceedingly tired at this point. What happens that at this point, this isn't very good. The people were starving, and they, in fact, without doing proper shechita, they started eating the meat, right? Because they finally had ability to eat. They were just famished.
So, they take out the blood.
Why do you say without shechita? Make an assumption for shechita, but you didn't, there was blood and other stuff. Well, you don't have to... implied or no shechita?
They didn't salt the meat.
There are different opinions. Right. There are different opinions. Look at your source sheet. Let's go to number 7.
I don't have a source sheet. Nobody gave me a sheet of anything.
It was on the email.
I didn't know that. I just opened it up when I came home.
So you were supposed to be home the whole day. Why did you leave home? In Baltimore, everybody's supposed to be home.
Wait a minute. I'm not in Baltimore. I'm in Florida, in Delray Beach.
That's even worse. You are where the spring break is. You are the one who caused this whole problem. Spring break.
Right. Sorry, because you and your wife hanging out at the beach. That's the problem.
Well, you know, we weren't learning. That's why I went to the beach. If I'd been learning, I would have stayed home.
I hear. So again, if you let's take a look at Rashi, quote number 7. Omar ani also vestino kakam chotim. Right. So there are different opinions as to what exactly happened here. One possibility is they were shechting a animal and the mother together at once. That's what they did. Other opinion is no, that these were set aside as carbonos. They didn't wait for Zrikas Hadam. That's another possibility. Right? If you look at the Ramban in number 8, he has more possibilities, what exactly it is. Right? He said Lecho Adam, that one of the possibilities is that they didn't wait for the blood to drain, they didn't wait for the salting. Another possibility is that they used to use the blood of animals in to do all sorts of magic with it, all kinds of nichush, etc. Maybe that was the problem. Whatever it was, in fact, this was a big. This was really not good. That it's not clear what exactly the avera was, but what, there is definitely an avera. So what happened there? So Shaul steps in. Ramad Gimel. He says, oh my goodness, get me a big stone. So Shaul says, wait a second. Everybody should come. Bring me your animals. I will do the shechita on it. Very interesting. There's a little bit of an odd word there. He said, right? What bazeh mean? So the simple understanding is what it says in the Gemara, that you have to check the knife before you use it for shechita. There are other answers as well. You look at the Medrash number 11. He says the knife that you use for shechita has to be at least 14 finger lengths across. How do you know that?
That's bazeh.
Because the word bazeh is gematria.
414.
That's 9, 8, 14. No, it's not 14.
No, what is it? 7,
yes, 9,
it
9, 8. Yes,
yeah, 9 and 5 is 14.
Yes, it is 14.
Yeah.
No. Couldn't bazeh be the knife or the sword that Shaul had? Maybe he was using a special khalif to...
Right, but the chal has to be a certain size. If anyone has any experience in shechita, so there are different knives you use for different
size animals.
Right? So the general rule is you want the knife to be three times the length of width of a typical neck. But this is a minimum. If you use a gasa, if you can use a large one, it has to be a large animal has to be at least 14 finger breadths across. That's what it is. You should know, I don't like to brag, but I actually have Kabbalah and Shechita.
Me too.
Me and the cantor were both Mikubalim. Yeah. When I went to get my test, for the first question they asked me is, how many bones are in the wing of a chicken?
I didn't hear what you said.
How many bones are in the wing of a chicken?
How many bones in the wing?
Yeah.
Two, maybe three, four, something.
So it's 14, actually.
14?
Bazet, same gematria. That's what they told me.
Okay.
So you see from here, what we had said earlier, that this was a bad idea. This was definitely a bad idea, because at the end of the day, here they are running around, and because they were starving, they end up eating meat for whatever reason that they weren't supposed to. And Shaul has to step in now and do something about it. So you see from here that this was a bad idea. And with that, he makes he's going to bring karbanos. So he says, you know what we should do? Let's not stop now. It's nighttime before daybreak. Let's go after them and we'll totally wipe them out. We'll be done with them once and for all. He said, let me check. Bring me the Urim V'Tumim. So they ask, what do we do? And there's no answer. Wait a second, that's not a good sign. Why are we getting an answer? Vayomer Shaul Goshu Alom Kol Pinosam V'Duru Kamba Ha'isa Hachatos Zosayom. If God's not talking to us, someone must have sinned. So everyone get together. Let's figure out who the sinner was. Ki Chay Adonai Moshiach Yisrael Kim Im Yeshno B'Yonasam B'Ni Ki Moshe Musvein Noneh B'Cholam. He said, whoever it is, even if it's my son who did it, they will pay for this. Me and Yonas are going to go on one side, you on the other side. We're going to draw lots. We're going to see whose fault it is. He said, which one is it? They pulled lots. It was Yonas and Shaul. And then they do lots again, and in fact, you find out it's Yonasan who is the sinner. He said, I violated your word. In fact, I ate. I'm ready to die for my sin.
But I have a problem. First of all, Yonason had no idea he was involved in war. He was not there. So you can't put a blame on him for not knowing about it. It's an exemption.
Okay. So the question is here, he's saying that, I don't understand. So your question is, why exactly would he be punished for this? He never heard what was said.
Right. It's like passing a law where the person has no knowledge about it. You know, you change the rules. You can't drive whatever it is. And this person has no knowledge about it. You can't find him guilty.
Well, what did he say afterwards? Yes. What did he say afterwards?
Ignorance of the law, an excuse?
What? It's not an excuse, number one. Number two, Yonatan knew very well because people told him, don't eat. And he said, my father is wrong, and he did eat.
Yeah, but that was his
took him, and you'll see.
Defense, but you can't find somebody guilty if they're not aware of the law. Somebody, you know.
It's not that he didn't, that he did it in spite of what he was told. It's what he said about his father afterwards.
Okay, that's a different story.
He was talking very disparagingly about his father, the king.
His father is Melech Yisrael, and he tells the troops that his father doesn't know what he's doing.
Well, he's also right.
He might be right, but that's not something you do to your commander in chief, right?
Hypothetically, if we just said our president wasn't a good guy, you know.
Yeah.
Gotta give respect to the head of
we in Edos follow our commander in chief no matter what. No matter
you
what
got
the,
it.
Watching me.
Does it say anywhere exactly what the chait of Yonatan was?
We're gonna discuss it. Don't worry, I'm not gonna leave you hanging on this one. But this is he just said it, right? Did Yonatan say? Shaul said, what did you do? And he said, I ate. Right? That's what we just read. Right? So, in fact, so Cantor Cole's point is a very strong point. It gets, but I want to go a little more because it gets stronger. Before we deal with it, let's go through a little bit more. Mem Dalet, Roma Shaul, Ko Ya'aseh Elohim V'Ko Yasif Ki Mos Tamus Yonasan. So Shaul says, okay, like I said, kill my son. He's going to die for this. Vayomer ha'amel Shaul ha'yonasan Yamus Hashem asa Yeshua ha'gedola ha'zos v'Yisrael chalila chay Adonai mipo misarach rosho arza ki melahim asa ha'yom azev v'yifto amas Yonasan below meis. People said no. Yonasan's not going to die. Yonasan is the one who saved us. It's because of Yonasan we had this great teshua. And therefore, we're not going to allow him to die. What does Shaul say? Fine. Okay. That's okay.
By the way, Yiftach has a similar type of thing. He makes a promise, that causes his daughter to run into this type of situation. But you can overcome these things.
Oh, yeah, we did overcome it. But the question is why? Raul says he deserves to die. Giannis says, okay, so I'll die. And the people say, no, he's not going to die. What do you mean? Right. No, he said, he saved us. We're not going to kill him. He said, okay, so he won't die. Did he deserve to die? Did he not deserve to die? So obviously, this is a very difficult piece, and therefore, we need to look at the Rishonim and see what they say about this. There are different approaches as to how we can understand this, because this is not simple at all. Let's start with number 13 on the sheet. Right, which is the Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar. It's a medrash. See, when you swear, Michel ben Kishi, Yatsumo Kolomi Katon Lagadol, Shnema Aroy Isha Shiroka, Bishan Lushama, Okavatavash, but tell the story that in fact, at the end of the day, he ate what he shouldn't have. All of a sudden, he ate the honey, he felt like $1 million. Rasha was a priest of Chosim, he saw the other Shemal, he saw the Cherim. So he saw that must have been a problem. Rabbi Shema Saravanim goes what he did, went to the Urim Vaturim. There was a problem with that. Eventually he got down to it.
But Rabbi, don't you need to give somebody a warning before you give him Misa and stuff like that? That is a...
So the truth of the matter is no. Meaning that only if it's a doing, if someone gets Misas Bezdin. This is different. This is Mishpat HaMelech. The king does not have to follow these rules of procedure. The king, under the king, you don't need to have warning. You don't need to have witnesses.
Okay, if that is true, then the king can change his mind. Let the king change his mind. You know, Trump changes his mind all the time.
Political.
And he's not even the king.
If he's not the king, who is?
I mean, it seems to me that logic behind this is they're trying to read in something that's not there. First of all, it dealt with bread. The words are specific. Lechem. Didn't talk about honey.
We always use, and that's not a good argument. We always use the word lechem to indicate all foods. Avad lechem.
Listen, if I have the honey, I don't make I pull the benching. I don't say the whole, you know. If I have a cookie, I don't go start saying.
It doesn't mean they're hungry for bread. It doesn't mean but they have filet mignon that they're eating, right? It means when we talk about bread, we mean all food. That's pretty clear. Now, going back here, the Medrash gives us the background. The Ramban asks our questions. The Ramban in the Sikra says, he said, "Vizesha Amar Sham, the Yifta Amish Jerusalem Velo Mace, Ki Klappi Masha Amar Bo Torah, Lo Yifta Bos Yamus, Amar Sham Yitam Velo Mace, Ki Bavorsh Ira Nasal Yodo Yadua Kishoge Gasa." The Ramban has a very interesting approach. The Ramban says that if in fact it was true that he didn't know about it, right, then he would not be obligated for it. However, the question that Shaul didn't know is, how did Shaul know that he did it accidentally? So the answer is, he says, that the people said, it must have been an accident. If he was a sinner, God would not have done a miracle on his behalf. So the fact that he did a miracle, that's a proof that it was an accident. And that is why, so that's the argument they're making. It's not that they said, yeah, he deserves it, but we don't want it. They said, no, clearly it must have been an accident, because if it wasn't an accident, how would there have been a miracle? So that is the point that the Ramban made, and that's also the
Rashi. A king cannot go to halachic authority. I mean, can't you go to a good dayan like in New York and find a good judge to rule favorably?
So yeah, the idea was that he was on the assumption. Why else would it? Now, the Rashba points out that there's a reason why he could have suspected that it was purposeful. Why? Because at the end of the day, let's be honest here. There's honey there. Everyone's hungry, and no one's eating it.
Yeah, but he was by himself with his assistant. He was involved in activity. It's like, you know, the general issues a order for the soldiers to retreat. But this guy has no idea, and he's going forward. So, I mean, you can't punish him for that.
Well, that's the question. We'll do one more source here, number 16. Number 16 is the source that Cantor Cole has been waiting for all night.
I don't have any of these sources. I'm just common sense.
Not here. I think we'll look at number 16. Vayomer Amar Shaul Yosef Mos. Rabbi Lez Omer Nosno Mishkal Azov Pado. One opinion was they said we're going to give his value in gold and we'll get him free. Amar Yochanan Vaki Lechem Achal Halo Lo Lechem Achal El Devash Achal. He says the argument was he never deserved it because he never ate bread. He ate honey. That's a very difficult argument to make. Why? Because after he eats the honey, the people tell him you weren't allowed to eat that. But Rish Lakish says no, it was he didn't really eat, he just tasted it. That's not considered eating. Yeah, these are all arguments as to why he should be saved. Bottom line, the most accepted one is the argument that we said, which is that clearly it was a mistake if it was an accident, because if it wasn't an accident, miracle wouldn't have happened. Mm-hmm. Let's just read up the end. It's getting late, and either you people are tired or I'm projecting. Or both. Could be. Okay, we're up to Mem Vav. It's a long parak. But Yal Shom Acharei Plishtim Uplishtim Hochul Mekomom. Shaul goes back, Plishtim go back, Vishal Lachan Amalucha Yisrael, Vayilachim Saviv, Vacholayvav, Vimoav, Vivne Amon, Vedo, Vimachay Tzova, Vplishtim, Vacholashe Yifne Yarshia. And all of a sudden he goes and they're having all of these and they're fighting against various other people. Wherever he goes, he's beating the other things. He beats the Plishtim, he beats Aram Tzova, that being Syria, he beats Edom, he beats Amon. They beat Amalek, everything. He has three sons and two daughters. We get their names. Now, when the rest of the family, his wife is Achinoam. And his general is Avner ben Ner. That's his uncle. Vikish Avishol ben Ner Avi Avner ben Aviel. We get to meet who these people are. Vatia Mochamachazaka al Prishim Kol Yemeshol. Roshol Kol Ishibor Vachol ben Choy Vaya Asvehu Elov. And with that, they're fighting constantly, and he develops a strong military. So that's the end of this parak.
So you should give him a toast of Corona.
Hi, Corona. Very good. Two questions. One is we've been doing this on Thursday nights for quite some time. We're going to keep on doing. Should we add another topic during the week? Maybe was a Pesach for the time being or something like that on one night?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. So maybe we'll make up a time that works for that. And, it's been a little busy back here. We're making a wedding on Sunday.
Mazel tov.
Thank you.
Whose wedding?
Nimrod and Chana. Not my Chana. But a couple that was supposed to get married next week and it got canceled because of this. We're making a wedding with a basic minion in my mother's backyard.
This cemetery?
Combined Ofruf and a Shabbos Kala. Now, of course, it's hard to have an afruf without a Torah to be called up to. But no, these are trying times. We'll do it.
Are there only going to be 10 people at the wedding then, Rabbi?
Well, this is maybe going to be 20 because it happens to be the Kala is a convert. So her parents will be there, but her father doesn't count for the minion.
Okay.
Okay, she'll make it 11 and 9. Same thing.
Whatever. These are not normal times, as I can tell you. And everyone's doing well? Yes?
Yes.
Good night, Rabbi.
Good night, Shai. I love your pajamas.
Maybe
you'll get me a pair of pajamas just like that, okay? All right. Everyone should
have a good one.
All right, everyone should be well.
Thank you, Rabbi.
What does one do for Parshas HaChodesh? Just read them after?
Yes, same thing you did for Parshas Para.
Well, we were in school.
You guys had school. Well, same thing I did for Parshas Para. I should put
okay. I can do it right now with in memory.
This is really the meeting.
All right, the end.
Thank you, Rima. Right. Thank you.
Have a good night.
Good night. Good night.
Good night. Good night. Good night.
Yes.
You have my telephone number?
Yeah. No, you can call me. 303 717-552.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Hold it. I got a pencil. Wait, in my pocket. I got. Go ahead.
303?
Yeah.
717?
Yeah.
5528.
5528?
Yes.
Okay. Are you in Denver or in California?
Denver.
Right now?
Yeah.
Okay. I got some stuff to show your kids on the thing. I'm gonna do that on FaceTime.
Okay, sounds good. Okay. See you in a minute.
Thank you soon. Thank you. Laila Tov.
Good night. Okay.
Good night.
Laila Tov.
Bye,
Saba. Say hi, Marsha. Bye, Marsha.
Shalom. Shai. Lila Tov.
Go to sleep.
Lila Tov.
Night, everyone.